Welcome to the Sunstone Magazine podcast, where you get the best of Mormon thought and experience in a succinct package. I'm Stephen Carter. This segment is entitled Braving the Borderlands: Crisis of Faith versus Crisis of Belief by D. Jeff Burton. D. Jeff Burton is the author of For Those Who Wonder and a former member of the Sunstone Board of Trustees. Articles, podcasts, blog posts, and books about the faith crisis phenomenon have abounded during the past few years, providing Borderlanders with a lot of interesting material to consider. Reading through these offerings, I've noticed how often we assume that everyone has similar understandings of terms such as faith, belief, doubt, knowing, and knowledge. However, these words can mean very different things in various contexts, which can lead to confusion when we try to talk about these issues. Do faith and belief mean the same thing? Is the opposite of faith really doubt? Most importantly, what does crisis of faith really mean? Looking into how these words have been used historically and how they've evolved to the present day can help us use them more constructively, especially when considering this important subject. For centuries, it's been common for English-language scriptures, religious texts, and discussants to use the terms faith and belief somewhat interchangeably, both the natural result of learning spiritual truth. However, with the effect of scientific discourse on our language, these two terms have since come to have distinct, mutually exclusive meanings. Belief has come to mean a mental or intellectual state that tells us something is true because of experience, information, evidence, or authority. For example, if we flip a balanced coin 50 times and tabulate the number of times it comes down heads or tails, we are likely to come to believe from the evidence that each side will come up about equally. The evidence of 5,000 flips will strengthen our belief, to the point where we would be willing to say that they come up equally. We modify, verify, strengthen, weaken, and test our beliefs using the day-by-day information our personal experiences supply. In fact, we can even measure the strength of various beliefs. Consider, for example, the scale I'm about to present. It is calibrated from 0 to 10. 5 represents no belief, opinion, or knowledge. 10 represents positive knowledge. I'm sure it is correct. And 0 represents negative knowledge. I definitely know it is not correct. The numbers in between represent strengths of belief, disbelief, or doubt. Take this test. Where does your belief fall for each statement? Number 1. 99 divided by 0 is infinity. Number 2. The integral of 5 is 5x plus c. 3. Joseph Smith was born in 1805. 4. Joseph was a genuine prophet of God. Now, listen to the answers. Do any of them surprise you? Number 1. True. The answer is not 0. Number 2. True, according to the common rules of integral calculus. 3. The evidence is quite good that 1805 was his birth year. 4. Your choice. There are 5 lessons to be learned from this exercise. First, belief is not necessarily perfect knowledge. It's likely that not all of your answers were either 0 or 10. Second, you may not have had sufficient experience, education, or information to have formed a belief about a particular matter, or at best, you could have only weak belief. For example, could you even answer question 2? Third, your beliefs may be in error. Was your answer to question 1 correct? Fourth, not all questions have concrete evidence or data sufficient to provide an intellectual answer. See, for example, question 4. In this case, belief must be based on other forms of evidence, such as inspiration, intuition, and feelings. Fifth, some answers will rely on a combination of belief and faith, even if you don't realize it. For example, if you're feeling a bit fuzzy about a calculus concept, you may have to decide to just trust, have faith in, your memory of it. Faith. Though faith has many meanings, i.e., a synonym for religion or loyalty, in this context it is most constructively understood as a willingness to accept an idea in the absence of hard evidence. In other words, belief is learned from experience and evidence, but faith is a perception that there is evidence and experience yet to be gained. In this sense, faith can even be a motivator of scientific research. A scientist, grounded in the faith that nature is ordered in a rational and measurable way, may have additional faith that an untested hypothesis will turn out in a particular way, even if it flies in the face of current views. In pursuing confirming evidence, the scientist is expressing his or her faith in science generally. Similarly, we may question aspects of our religion, but by doing so, show our faith in the gospel generally. Having doubts in our minds in no way precludes having faith in our hearts. Having faith implies making a bridge between what we know or believe now and what we may know or believe in the future. For example, we may believe from personal experience, e.g., evidence, that following the teachings of the Book of Mormon has brought us closer to God, and this may lead us to have faith that the whole book is true. Doubt and disbelief. The older religious meanings of doubt are to distrust and to reject. It is associated with what religion considers the most negative of human traits, the rejection of God's existence and goodness. However, in its modern constructive sense, doubt means to be unsettled in belief or opinion, to be uncertain or undecided. It implies not antagonism toward a concept, but a simple lack of information or evidence upon which to base a belief. According to this usage, doubt is an inevitable consequence of a maturing, inquiring mind. Thus, doubt should not be denied, but managed, as it can be quite helpful in our search for truth. The commandment to doubt not uses the older meaning of the term. Every LDS person is prone to occasional religious uncertainties, questions, and doubts of varying intensities. In some sad cases, those who try to repress these natural occurrences in order to maintain an image of certainty settle for the appearance of being a believer rather than for its actuality. Questions. Questions are the delightful offspring of doubt. They reveal that you have a desire to expand the database upon which your beliefs are built. They represent an opportunity to exercise faith. And as long as they don't become accusatory, i.e., why did you lie to me about Joseph Smith's polygamy, they can be very constructive. Knowledge and to know. In a modern, personal, and intellectual sense, to know is to apprehend something as a result of study, experience, reasoning, or evidence. It is based on familiarity with or awareness of facts and evidence. But remember that in this life, nothing can be known perfectly, only with degrees of confidence. Though science has developed elaborate methods for testing, verifying, and strengthening the evidence upon which beliefs and knowledge are based, it does not claim perfect knowledge. And when it's being honest, neither does religion. One source of evidence is the voice of authority, especially in religious settings. For example, if our math professor, the one with the PhD in math, teaches that a number divided by zero is infinity, we likely believe her. And if our parents told us that God answers prayers, their authority would give us the motivation to try it. Then, when we prayed, we might receive evidence, however subjective, supporting their claims. Many of us have come to know, by this method, that God answers prayers. In the church, we have general authorities, and many members take their pronouncements as gospel. Depending on the person and the subject, it takes more or less evidence to graduate a belief to the status of knowledge. For example, most of us would be willing to say that we know Joseph Smith was born in 1805. The historical evidence is, after all, pretty solid. But was he a prophet? Did God appear to him? The evidence for these claims is of a subjective kind, built of inspiration, feelings, emotions, or trust in our leader's authority. Faith would point us in the direction of further investigating the claim, making room for different kinds of evidence. Crisis is related to a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger, necessitating difficult or important decisions. Synonyms could include emergency, disaster, calamity, a crossroads, and a critical time. Given this definitional background and context, what does crisis of faith mean? We've already seen that faith is often used to mean both faith and belief, but we've disentangled these two words. So let's analyze the phrase using one and then the other. A crisis of belief would be a time when your beliefs obviously no longer make sense of current evidence. But since beliefs and evidence constantly mismatch in small ways, a crisis implies that the beliefs being challenged are foundational, perhaps affecting your behavior patterns, relationships, or life philosophy. For example, if the evidence seems to suggest that your belief in God is misguided, then you'll likely assume that answers to prayer, healings, and divine assistance are no longer available to you. If these had been a large part of your life until this point, this could be the source of a crisis. A crisis of faith would be much different. It means that you feel it is not even worth pursuing the questions a crisis of belief brings up. Your vision of the usefulness of any knowledge you might gain further down this particular path has disappeared. Along this same line, Boyd J. Peterson has suggested that a crisis of faith could also mean a crisis of confidence, or a crisis of credibility. Your hope that something good can be found has vanished. This may be what Proverbs 29:18 means when it says, "When there is no vision, the people perish." A true crisis of faith is exponentially deeper than a crisis of belief, though a crisis of belief can lead to a crisis of faith. It seems to me that the majority of crises of faith Mormons go through are, in fact, crises of belief. Belief and data are not matching up. This kind of crisis may lead someone in any direction, including into or out of the church. Certainly, many conversion stories start with a missionary meeting someone who was having a crisis of belief. But these crises leave intact the feeling that pursuing a particular path will lead somewhere constructive. In other words, if you are encountering questions or periods of doubt, or if you find your degrees of belief fluctuating as new evidence and experience rolls in, welcome to the club! Everyone in the church experiences that. Whether they're willing to talk about it is another matter. Crises of faith seem to me to have little to do with modern belief. Even if someone leaves the church over a crisis of belief, they still have faith that something good is out there somewhere, and they go looking for it. A crisis of faith seems a much more personal and a much bleaker state, arising not from one's belief or disbelief in doctrines, but from one's faith in the possibility of connection, to others or to the divine. For example, gay Mormons who have committed suicide have likely undergone a true crisis of faith. Perhaps they started in a crisis of belief, wondering what their place in the church might be. But it became a crisis of faith when their experience finally led them to believe that their worth to God and to the LDS community had evaporated, leaving them with no vision, no hope for anything better down life's path. A similar fear probably shadows anyone who enters a crisis of belief. Will I still be acceptable if my beliefs seem different from those of other church members? Will my shift in beliefs result in a shift of their love for me? Will I still be acceptable to God? These are not abstract questions that can be answered with a scripture or a study manual. They are questions of connection, of relationship, of faith, that can only be answered by how we interact with one another. And that is the reason it's important to me that we define crisis of faith so precisely. At our core, most of us do not yearn for belief so much as we do faith. A crisis of belief isn't difficult to handle if we know to our bones that we are loved and appreciated. Even if we revise our deepest beliefs from time to time, we do so with faith that we will become a stronger, more unique part of a loving community. A crisis of faith often arises when we understand that our community values our beliefs more than ourselves. In other words, when there is a dearth of love and appreciation in the community. As Carol Lynn Pearson points out, we all know love when we see it and feel it. We can't be tricked. If Latter-day Saints are truly having crises of faith in unprecedented numbers, it is often because our love for each other is not stronger than the cords of death. Which should raise the question, is our community primarily about cultivating belief or faith? The answer to this question is all important and regularly dependent upon how we love one another. That was Braving the Borderlands, Crisis of Faith versus Crisis of Belief by D. Jeff Burton. The text version of this article includes endnotes. That concludes this episode of the Sunstone Magazine podcast. Encourage your friends to join us by becoming a patron at patreon.com/sunstone. If you would like to further support Sunstone's efforts, visit sunstone.org/donate, where you can make a tax-deductible contribution. We'll be back soon with another installment of the best of Mormon thought and experience. Thanks for listening.